In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Every action you take is a vote for the person you wish to become. A quote from the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. Welcome back to Reignite Resilience. We are so excited. I'm your co-host, Natalie Davis, and I'm joined by...
Pamela Cass. Hello.
Hello, Pam. Hello. I'm excited for today's episode. We are actually talking about habits, which is an interesting topic because I think it comes up quite a bit when we're talking about any type of personal development, when we're talking about business planning. We can't seem to get away from it.
No. And I want to say it's kind of one of those things that's always been part of our lives. And we're always trying to hopefully get rid of bad habits, but also create new habits. And so hopefully with this podcast, we can kind of uncover, you know, what are habits, first of all, and what is the benefit of having habits? And then what can be the drawbacks of some of those habits and how do we change them? How do we get rid of some of those bad habits and incorporate new habits? Because you and I as coaches, that is probably the hardest thing that people struggle with is trying to reinforce and get these new habits in place where they become so automatic, they don't even think about it. It's tough. We all struggle with it.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the biggest misconception that I often hear is, you know, when you talk to folks about either their morning routine or how they start their day or how they even approach their business, and they say, well, I really don't have a routine or habits around that. And I like to stop them and I think, okay, well, then you do, because that's your habit. Your habit is that you don't have a routine or you don't have automatic behavior that you realize that you've actually instilled into your everyday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes some of those habits are so ingrained, they don't even realize, like you said, they don't even realize that they have a habit, like a habit of pressing the snooze button three or four times before they get out of bed. That's a habit.
Yes.
You know, all of those things that we do. And it's like, you know, when we talked our last episode, we had the pleasure of having Dr. Molador on there and he talked about habits and resiliency and getting through difficult times and having those habits in place, those positive habits can be really beneficial for that. And that's hopefully what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about that and uncover something new for people today, hopefully.
I love it. I love it. And you're correct. I had no idea that we had such a huge connection when we look at the brain and the function of the brain and the habits that we take on. So I'm so grateful to Dr. John for sharing that. And that gives us the opportunity to dive into our habits a little bit more. But before we do that, why don't we just make sure that we're all on the same page when we're talking about habits? What does that look like? What are we really referencing?
Yeah. A habit is something that almost is automatic, meaning that you have to expel very little energy in it because it is something that has become so deeply ingrained. When Dr. John talked about neuroplasticity, that's what this is about. It's those wirings inside our brain that are so entrenched that we don't even have to think about it. And it's funny, I think about something I learned years and years ago. I have no idea where I learned it. The idea of unconscious incompetence, conscious incompetence, conscious competence, and unconscious competence. And that's that whole idea. We start out, we don't know that we don't know something. Like, let's think about tying our shoes. We have no idea that we don't know how to tie our shoes. And then all of a sudden someone says, oh, Natalie, you don't know how to tie your shoes. You need to learn how you tie your shoes. So now we're aware that we don't know how to do it. And then they start to teach us. And if we think really hard and expel energy, we're able to learn how to do it. And then we get to a place where we've done it so much, we don't even think about it. Right. Think about those times you've driven home from your office and you're like, oh shoot, I don't even remember my drive. That's a little scary.
Exactly.
But our brain's on autopilot. Yes. And so ideally with positive, healthy habits, we want to get them to a place where it is so ingrained that it's just an automatic response to something. Yes. And we talk about, and there's many books out there that talk about this. James Clear, you and I both read Atomic Habits, talks about the habit loop. Yes. And so one, the very first step is the cue. It's that trigger that makes us do something. So for me, my alarm goes off in the morning. I get up and the first thing I do is start the water for my coffee.
Yes.
So that's my cue. And then the routine is the actual act of doing something. So now I make my coffee and I sit down and drink my coffee, which is the cue for me to then start my affirmations, start my thank you notes, all those part of my morning routine. And then there's some reward. And the reward is I get to enjoy a cup of coffee while I'm doing these things. Yes. So it's that cue, routine, and reward. And so whether it's a positive habit or a negative habit, the reward is there. And that's what makes it so hard to change those bad habits. Because whether it's smoking or drinking or whatever, you get that dopamine and you feel good about it. And so, yeah. So how do we change that? So that's kind of the habit. It's that thing that we do that expels no energy. And that's what we want to get those positive habits to.
Yeah. And so, Pam, I think that habit loop appears quite a bit in our lives. Yeah. And like you said, if it's smoking, if it's drinking, I think about it, you know, just from our industry standpoint within the real estate industry, a lot of our business is cyclical and it's typically mm-hmm. on a monthly basis. So mm-hmm. the thing that I think about is the cue being month end, right? Like there's kind of this angst that surrounds the industry when it's the end of the month. And so that cue is month end. The routine then it can go one of two directions. Right? It's month mm-hmm. end and I have a process in place so that mm-hmm. I can have the reward of making it through the end of the month successfully. Or that cue could be it's month end and you slip into this, the avoidance,
yes.
the denial, the procrastination, but then, yes. and that becomes your routine, right? I'm going to procrastinate until the very last moment and then I'll get everything done that I need to get at the end of the month, right? Mm-hmm. If you're on that cyclical piece. That's looking at it more of a season in life, right? When you're looking mm-hmm. at it, if it's on a monthly basis. But you mentioned even like just cigarettes. If it's, you know, I'm having a stressful day. The kids are a little, you know, wild today. Mm-hmm. The cue is things are starting to get out of your control. Your routine is I'm going to just go step outside so that I can have a breather. That breather then includes a cigarette if you're a smoker. And then the reward is the extra dose yeah. of dopamine. Or if it's a cocktail yeah. or fill in the vice, whatever that may be.
Fill it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, whether it's eating when you're bored. You know, there's yes. so many different things that we do. And we're going to talk about it on the second part of this episode about identifying the triggers yes. that cause those bad habits. Yes. Or those unhealthy habits. We don't call them bad habits or unhealthy habits.
Right.
So yeah, really important. Yeah. So interesting. But I think the takeaway here is that when we're wanting to create positive habits or healthy mm-hmm. habits, mm-hmm. getting them to a place where they're so automated that we're expelling very little energy right. because it allows us to have more energy for creative thought, yes. for doing other things. Mm-hmm. If you are expelling all of your energy to figure out how to do a new habit, that's going to be a problem. You're not going to have the energy for the creative thought that you want to have. And right. so I think that's really an important piece of it.
This again goes back to the power of the brain. A lot of these habits, whether they're healthy or unhealthy habits that we're referencing to, a lot of that processing is actually taking place in the unconscious brain, right? Yeah. It's not the things that we think about. Like you mentioned, the alarm clock goes off, you set the coffee, you brush your teeth. Like mm-hmm. these are the things you just mm-hmm. get up. I think there are some mornings where I have my routine and I stand at the counter and I think, well, did I take my vitamin? Because I would have taken my vitamin when I set the coffee, but I don't remember doing it, right? Yeah. Like I don't remember if I took my vitamin or not because it's that healthy habit that yes. just automatically happens. It has become routine for me in my morning.
Yeah. Well, and you and I have talked about this before, and I think we've talked about it in earlier episodes about we covet our morning routine such that when we go on vacation, it doesn't change. Yeah. Like I still get up early. I still do my affirmations and gratitudes. I still do my workout because for me, I know that if I take a week off, it's going to be a nightmare to try to get that habit in place again. And I'm like, I don't want to start over.
Exactly.
Keep doing it. Like, just do it.
And just keep doing it. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And I don't know about you, but with coaching clients, when they've gone on vacation or they've taken a period of time off, that's their hardest thing when they get back. They're like, oh, I'm just not back to my routine. Yes. I'm like, okay, you don't have to keep your full routine together when you go on vacation. But what are some of the key things that you're like, I know if I can at least keep this going yes. when I come back, it's going to be easy to transition back into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think that that's a great segue when we're talking about the different types of habits, Pam. Let's share, like when we're looking at healthy yeah. habits, what are some of those healthy habits that we may or may not have identified that are present yeah. in our lives right now?
Well, I think one for me that has probably been the most impactful for me that has helped me with adversity the most has been my gratitude habit.
Yes.
And so for me, the identifying three new things a day that I'm grateful for, no matter how much stuff I have going on in my world, if I can at least pick three things that I'm grateful for, it helps me change my outlook on things so that when other things happen, it's like, okay. Well, that's fabulous. I guess that's fine. It just changes your perspective. And you're just, you know, for us in real estate, it's, you know what, that wasn't the right buyer for this house. Yeah. Or, you know what, that just wasn't the right listing for my buyer. Yes. And so it helps us face adversity easier than if we're in a place of scarcity. So I think for me, gratitude is probably one of the biggest ones. And the other for me is the physical activity. Yes. If I get out of my exercise routine, I am a grouchy person. Yes. And it does impact my energy throughout the day. And so I have this routine, no matter what, there's got to be 30 minutes built in my day that I do some sort of exercise. I have a Peloton. My life has been kind of disheveled where I had my basement flood. My Peloton was down in the basement and I hadn't been on it in a while. And I kept getting these notifications. We miss you. We miss you. And I'm like, yes. Okay, fine.
I'm so my son, back, I promise.
Yeah. So my son and I lugged that thing and it wasn't easy up to my bedroom. And now it's in my bedroom, but now I'm back on my bike every single day for at least a 30-minute really high intensity ride. It's been a game changer. And so I've been doing that now for 2 weeks. So yes. That's how long it took me. It took me like a month, but now I'm back. So yeah. So those are some of mine. Do you have some healthy habits that have been really powerful in your life?
I do. Well, and one of mine is very similar to yours. It's in terms of the gratitudes. And it's interesting that you say that because I write them down. So the three things that I'm grateful for every day, I actually write them down. And as you were sharing that, I just reflected on the fact that usually when I write them down, like I can't help but feel like this satisfaction, gratification. There's oftentimes like a smile that, you know, it's like, I am so grateful for whatever it may be. And now some mornings it's like, I'm grateful for this fabulous cup of coffee on my deck, right? Like being able to be outside and in nature and drinking coffee. Those are things that I enjoy. Those are also my habits. And they happen to pop up on my gratitude list every once in a while. Mm-hmm. A big one for me is sleep. I don't compromise on sleep. I don't typically stay up late. I do get up early though. So getting the right amount of sleep, and Dr. John Molitor shared that in our last episodes as well, the importance of sleep, right? Like when you're looking at learning something new, the learning doesn't happen in the action. The learning happens when you actually rest. And so I've been a pretty solid sleeper for a great deal of my life. And I am also a pretty great napper. I'll say that. I can go down for a 15-minute nap midday, and it is 15 minutes, no timer. I don't need to set a clock. I know I need to take a power nap in the middle of the day to keep me going for the second half of the day.
Love it.
And so I do that. But when I think about that habit, Pam, I've done that since college because I was a full-time student and I also had a full-time job. And so in doing that, like I had a little bit of a sliver of a half a piece of break in the middle of my day. And I would fill that with a 15-minute nap, right? And so I would go down, take a nap, and then get up and knock out the rest of my day. I also have no problem sleeping at night, right? So when I go to bed at the end of the day, and this is not even incorporating the routine, the nightly routine that Dr. John recommended to us, but when I go down at the end of the day, my head hits the pillow and I sleep just fine until actually, I usually get up 15 minutes before my alarm goes off, but until my alarm goes off, let's just say that. Yes. Unfortunately, my habit is waking up 15 minutes before the alarm actually goes off, but neither here nor there. Sleeping is a big one. And outside of that, if I'm not able to do my midday nap for whatever reason, I will sneak in some type of meditation or like mindfulness practice if it's just a few moments of silence where I can, again, just be in that place of gratitude and really have a sense of calm and stillness because that really charges me up as well just to continue moving through the day. So those are a couple of things that I have that really helped me. Things that people don't think about, like the importance of sleep. I enjoy it. I enjoy my rest.
It's interesting. I've never been a good sleeper. I'm a person that I can lie down. I'm like you. I will lie down. I'll be asleep in 2-3 minutes. Like I'm out.
Yes.
No problem falling asleep, which means I'm probably overtired. But if I wake up for any reason or if I have a lot on my mind, I get up and then I toss and turn. And so unfortunately, sometimes I will average like 5 to 6 hours of sleep, which is not healthy. And so I'm very much more aware of the sleep that I get. And I want to say it's probably been the last couple of years I've incorporated the napping. And it's funny because my dad was a master at power naps. He's like, I'm taking a power nap. And I'm like, what? Yes. And he'd disappear and he'd do it. I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And I was like, I could never do that. And but there's a magic to it. And I had to learn what my time was. Yes. And for me, it's about 26 minutes. And that's it. So I set my timer for 30 minutes and I don't allow myself to sleep longer than that. And I do meditation music. I put a mask on. I put my AirPods in so that the noise canceling. So I don't hear, and I am out and I love it. So that has been a big factor in a new habit that I've definitely incorporated. And I
and
love
it. And you get up like ready to conquer the world. I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I think that is such a big thing. For me too, another habit is the lifelong learning. And I think you are probably the exact same. I am always seeking out to learn more. And I listen to podcasts and they mention books. And then I pick a book. And I'm like, okay, I got to read this book. And then I got to do some research about this author. And and so I'm constantly wanting to learn and get better. And that is so much fun. And the habit of surrounding yourself with other people that are lifelong learners so that you can have conversations. That's what I love about this podcast is you and I will say, we should do an episode on X. Just this morning, you told me about this book that I wrote down. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm totally doing that. We have I think we came up with like 3 new topics.
Yes.
So exactly. That habit of being a lifelong learner, I'm always reading books and always trying to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what's so interesting is that has come up for me quite a bit today. And just for sake of reference for everyone listening, this is a first thing in the morning episode that we're doing right now. But in my morning routine and the reading that I've had this morning, so I'm rereading the Millionaire Real Estate Agent by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. I think they're it's co-authored by the two of them. And looking at that book, I'm at the section where they're talking about figuring out your why. And Gary talks about like being the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And so I tie that in with a lifelong learner because there's no end goal of being the best version of you, right? Like there's no finish line. Like you are constantly working towards that best version of yourself. And I incorporate that with a lifelong learning. And as Pam mentioned, like just today, before we got on this episode, I said, oh, I'm going to send you that book, Pam. You need to read it. And I haven't even read it yet. I just heard great things about it. And so now I'm putting it on her list. But I love that because I can continue to grow. And I feel like if I'm continuing to grow, then I'm able to better serve the people that are in my life, like my personal life, business life, any of the relationships that I have. I love that piece of it. There's nothing that really triggers that for me, though, when we talk about like the habit cue, other than the curiosity. Like that's the piece that I think it's a cue. It's like, oh my gosh, I want to know more about that. Tell me what you know. What can I read? Yeah. Where can I go in terms of a resource? And then the reward is actually learning it and growing from it. Yeah.
So that is the trigger. The trigger is curiosity.
Yeah.
So when somebody says something that you're like, wow, I don't, or we hear something or like, gosh, I don't know anything about that. I got to research that. And I love that. Something else, another really important habit for me is the positive affirmations.
Yes.
And so I wasn't introduced to that until a Ninja where they had us write out 25 affirmations a day. So that's kind of where I got first introduced to it. But then as we've gone along, we've realized that those positive things that we say and those negative things that we say can be verbal affirmations. Something that I incorporate in my morning routine is I write out my affirmations 25 times every day. I do it the start of a new month. So starting the first of the month, I do it for the whole month. Sometimes I continue the same affirmation, but then I write out a vision statement. And I've been writing out a vision statement for years and I could totally recite it. It's 2 pages, but it's the vision I have of my life, my ideal life. Yes. And I'm always tweaking it a little bit. So that is part of my day that, man, if I skip it for a day, I definitely notice it in my mindset. I'm like, oh, I didn't do that today. So I need to get back and make sure that that happens. So that's a really important one to me as well.
I love it. Pam, here's the thing. We're going to have to bring that back for another episode. I do not write the vision statement, but I think that we could let all of our listeners know, like give them the tools and how to create that vision statement, because that sounds overwhelming. I actually went through the process of working through Mind Valley. They took you through the process of creating a life book, and you kind of create a vision for each area of your life. Okay. Now, that's a book. Unfortunately, I don't reference it on a daily basis. So being able to write that vision statement on a daily basis, how do you envision your life playing out? Because you do have that creator role. You have a huge responsibility and a charge in terms of what that life looks like. So what better way than to start your day by actually writing
Absolutely. And that was, I got introduced to that in the book, The Answer by John Assaroff. He actually walks you through creating a vision statement. And so that was where I was very first introduced to it. I'm like, oh, I should totally do this. And it was pretty small at first, and it incorporates. And I have people ask me, can you share that statement? And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't
care. It's like, sure. It's like, do you want to see my whole soul?
I'm just like, I'll just show you everything. Because it's deeply personal, but it's personal stuff. It's professional stuff. It's goals. It's really where I see myself ideally in the world. And I will just continue to do that. And I joke, and I've told you this many times, I put it in a little journal. I have hundreds of those journals because I've been doing these for years. When I am gone, my children are going to be like, see, mom was crazy. I went so far as to take one of those journals and actually write an explanation of what I did, why I do this in the front. Because I'm like, well, hopefully they read this first. And then they're like, oh, okay, now we understand.
Exactly.
So yeah, there's that.
Let's talk about that habit as well, because I will tell you, I think I've mentioned I'm in the process of moving. And so as I was boxing up my office, all of the journals that I have collected over the years, because I actually handwrite them, it is so hard to part with them. I couldn't bear to throw them out. So I have them.
It's part of my journey. And I feel like throwing them out is throwing out a piece of me. Yeah. Like I'm keeping them, my poor children. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. You might be able to use them one day to build a house or something, furniture. I don't know.
Or a fire. And one of the two.
Like a very large fire to celebrate the ending of my one chapter in my life.
Oh my gosh. I love it. That's so great. That's so funny. You mentioned that piece of it. And I'm like, yep, I have every single journal. And it's so beautiful to go back and look at, right? Like I go back and I look at journals from 2015. I mean, it's a lot. There's a stack and they're typically hardcover journals. So it's not like it's a light box, but it is nice to be able to go back and reflect and say, oh, that I was in a different place, you know, in terms of what I was doing. When we're looking at any of our habits, I was completely in a different place. So I love them. If you haven't started a journal, pick one up. I think you should start it. Yeah. It's a great piece, just a memoir to yourself, if nothing else, if you don't have things that want to appreciate them.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is the unhealthy habits, which we all have. But if we don't identify them, how do we overcome some of the bad ones? Yeah. And I will catch myself sometimes doing this if I am feeling a little overwhelmed or overtired or overstressed, is sedentary, just not wanting to do anything. And just, I will find myself in this pattern of, all right, I don't have any calls or anything to do, where I just want to lie on the couch and Netflix. Yes. And that is such a bad thing for me. It's a bad thing for my mindset. It's a bad thing for my body, because then, oh, I'm just lying on the couch. Well, then I'm probably hungry, so I should probably start snacking, and it's usually not going to be a good snack. And so it just leads to kind of unhealthy eating as well. And so that's one that I have to be very cognizant of. Yes. It's not a consistent habit. It's a habit that happens when I'm feeling a certain way. And I think that can happen. We can have habits form in situations, you know, yes, because of triggers. And for yes, the trigger for me is when I'm feeling overwhelmed or stressed or tired, I want to slip into this bad habit of unhealthy eating and being sedentary. So what about you? What are some of your guilty pleasures?
One of my unhealthy habits, I've got a big one. It's blaring. I've had this for a very long time. Mine is unhealthy eating. And I know that yeah, it's a bad habit. And when I say unhealthy eating, I think it goes both extremes. I will get so focused on the task, my schedule, the day, and get so busy I forget to eat. And I know mm-hmm, my family always questions, how do you forget to eat? I truly do. It just doesn't yeah, become a priority for me. Mm-hmm. Or the extreme, you mentioned this, like when I get bored or I don't have anything to do on mm-hmm, my calendar, it's like, oh, you know, now's a great time to bake a batch of brownies and eat them, all of them, right? So it's like I go from one extreme to the other, and I know it, and I truly have to like be intentional in terms of like making sure that I get something to eat on a daily basis. Yeah. Now, this is where you can also have the support, and we'll talk about this on the next episode, but my daughter, my oldest daughter, Karen, also plays a role in that, because 90% of the time she'll call me on a daily basis, late afternoon, I should say, to ask, have you eaten something today? And I can't wow, just do a yes or no. And then she goes into, well, what did you eat? And she wants to make sure that it's an actual meal, but it's an unhealthy habit. And it's not, I think the big thing is recognizing and realizing that the people close to you can see these unhealthy habits that you start to form, right? Yeah. So we use the example of smoking, right? I think that's yeah, another one. I don't smoke. I've never been a smoker. But when you mm-hmm, look at that as an unhealthy habit, the people that are close to you, the people that are in your life or that are in mm-hmm, your tribe, they see that these unhealthy habits are popping up. So unfortunately, a big one for me, it is unhealthy eating. And it's both. It's yeah, over or under eating. I yeah, do them both. Yeah.
Well, you and I have been in the same place. I do recall a time where you and I were together where I hadn't eaten, and I think I pulled a dusty almond out of the purse and ate it. If you recall that situation, because I would go all day and not eat anything. And then it's like, and go to the bathroom. Like, yes, I will go into my office and sometimes 8 hours goes by and like, oh my gosh, I've gone to the bathroom all day. I've been eating all day. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And so
I think we should expand on that story. So just we're not just always eating dusty almonds. No. And they truly were. So Pam and I, we were at a conference. Is that what we were? We were doing something and we were tied up all day and it just yeah, led to us skipping lunch. And so we didn't have a chance to have lunch. I don't think we had breakfast, and we were in like an early afternoon session. And I turned to Pam and I'm like, I'm starving. And you're like, I'm starving too. And literally Pam like starts to pull everything out of her handbag. And in the bottom of her bag, there was like a crumbled up, was it like a Larbar? I think there
was a Larbar that was completely flat. It was like something had sat on it. I have no idea.
And five almonds that were yes, loosely in the bottom of her handbag.
Like how did they even get in there? They had to have fallen out of some bag that I had. And I was like, oh my gosh. But we just brushed them off and ate them.
And we ate them. We yeah, had a little timey over. I mean, don't worry. We did eat after that, but
we
were able to function. But I think the cue for us, like we realized like we were hungry, but then yeah, we get hangry. Yes. And both Pam and I get hangry. And that yes, we realized we were getting hangry and we were like, this is not good for anyone.
No.
We're going to eat we split five dusty almonds and,
yes, and a Larbar. And a half of a flat Larbar. And then we sought out food. But yes, now, you know, knowing that about ourselves, it's like, all right, having healthy snacks in your car and always in your purse that are yes, in sufficient wrappage so yes, that you're not having loose almonds in the bottom of your bag. Yeah. So that's a big one. For me, one of the, when we talk about like a substance abuse, alcohol became a habit for me. And what it did was it was the cue was the end of my workday. If I could pour a drink, I could let the day go. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what was happening, it was just becoming this habit where I'm like, okay, well, it's the day's over. Now I have to drink. Day's over. Now I have to drink. And I realized that I'm like, oh, whoa, 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 you're drinking every day. And when I was drinking, I wasn't eating as well. Yes. And so that became a habit that I was like, I have to change this. And so Then I did cold turkey. I did a 30-day challenge and no alcohol for 30 days. And now it's one of those things I do still drink, but it's not like it was. It was not on a regular basis. It's not the cue to the end of my day. And I think that's really, really important. And we'll talk about in our next episode, the second part of this, we'll talk about, you know, what are some things that you can do to overcome a habit like that?
Yes.
You know, as long as it hasn't gotten so far that now it's an addiction and you can't break it on your own, it's not an addiction for you. And you just need to kind of have a habit interrupt, change it. What are some things you can do? And I'll definitely share things that I started to do that have helped me not need that drink in the evenings and not need that drink if I'm going out with friends.
Yep.
And that's a big one. That was kind of a big one. Negative self-talk, I think, can be a habit that we can easily get into or fall into.
Yes.
I know I see it a lot with coaching clients where they'll get into this habit of these negative self-talk. And that can be a habit where we don't even realize we're doing it. And it's like, hold on, let me say back to you what you just said to me. Right. Would you say that to your best friend? Would you say that to your daughter? Would you say that to your mother? And most of the time, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I was saying that.
Absolutely. Well, and it can creep in, right? Like, it doesn't have to be so severe when we talk about negative self-talk. Like, I think about even just sometimes getting ready in the morning. There are some times where I'm doing my makeup and I'm like, okay, eyebrows, do you want to cooperate with me? Could you both match today, right? Like, it's that type of thing, because that energy is negative, right? That's not like loving, compassionate self-talk. It's like, can I just get it together today? And so it creeps in so quickly, and it's probably the things that you do like on a daily basis that you don't think about until you run into a challenge and then enter negative self-talk, right? Right? Like something that you typically do easily in terms of your routine, you get a little blip in the road, insert negative self-talk automatically. So we want to be aware of that. And we're going to, like you mentioned, we'll talk about ways to address it, to circumvent it, but that happens. Absolutely. And it happens
it
so quickly before we even realize it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then one other I want to talk about, a negative habit, is procrastination.
So
we kind of see this a bit in coaching. I know that there are times that I struggle with this if it's something I don't want to do.
Yes.
So procrastination can be a big one, and it's delaying tasks that we know need to happen and kind of figuring out, you know, that can rob us of our best life. If you think about that, if you're procrastinating doing something, a big project, whatever it is, and you know that this is out there, your brain is constantly thinking about it. So it is expelling energy, thinking about this thing that we are avoiding. And it's taking energy away from being creative and doing the positive things. And so this is an important one. And again, we'll give you some tools on when you find yourself in this habit of procrastinating all the hard tasks, but doing all the easy stuff, but procrastinating the hard stuff, like calling those customers that we haven't talked to in a while that we need to talk to, things like that. So we'll give you some tools that you can use to kind of help get through that. But that's a big one, is noticing when, are there triggers that are causing you to procrastinate? What are the specific things that you can identify that's kind of preventing that? So that's
exactly
another one.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a big one. And Dr. John shared insight on that as well, in terms of when we're looking at that list of things to do, we're going to do the one that requires the least amount of energy.
And absolutely.
That's brain and physical, right? Like, we're looking at both of those. So I'm looking forward to our next episode where we dive into some of, unfortunately, like some of how those habits can lead to some of the adversities that we see, but more importantly, looking at, you know, cultivating those positive habits and creating positive habits for ourselves, or at least being able to quickly identify the triggers and the cues when we find ourselves in that habit loop, which is
absolutely
quite a bit of the day.
Absolutely. I love it.
Great.
So I think that let's wrap up today. When we come back together, like Natalie said, we're going to talk about habits in a little more depth. We're going to give you some, hopefully, tools that you can use to try to create some new habits and overcome some of maybe those bad habits that you have found yourself in. And so we're going to explore it. Natalie and I are not perfect. We do have some bad habits that we're trying to overcome as well, but we're on this journey with you guys, and that's the whole purpose of our podcast. So if you found this helpful, please make sure you share this episode on your social media. The bigger the community, the more people we can reach. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're here.
Beautiful. We will see you all on the next episode.
Bye, guys.
We hope you enjoyed part one of our two-part series about habits. Please join us for the second part where we will dive into habits and adversity and also working towards cultivating positive habits with tools and resources that are available and at your disposal. We look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.